And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS. Thank you for joining us. Well, if you're in the market for a new phone, the new Samsung Galaxy S3 is making big waves, getting some very high marks from reviewers, including PC Mag's Sasha Segan, the magazine's lead mobile analyst. You find his review at PCMag.com. He joins me now to tell me what makes it so great. Sasha, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you gave this new smartphone 4.5 stars. How many phones have gotten such high ratings in the past?
Well, generally, the best phone on the market at any given time has 4.5 stars. I almost never give out 5 stars. So this is an assurance that this is really the best smartphone you can get right now on all the major carriers.
Just for reference, what kind of star rating did you give the newest iPhone?
Well, the new iPhone got 4.5 stars on Sprint, but 4 on the 3 other carriers because it lacks 4G, so its internet connection is much slower than some of the other smartphones we're seeing.
I see. Well, if you could first give me an overview in the world of Droid phones between Samsung, HTC, and Nokia, is one brand head and shoulders better than the rest?
Well, Samsung are currently the leaders. They're the biggest consumer electronics company in the world. They're the number one maker of phones, and they're really the juggernaut in the smartphone industry at the moment. HTC tends to make very classy designs. They tend to use really high-quality materials. A lot of people think their phones are beautiful. But Samsung, I mean, in this case, they just hit it on all cylinders. I mean, Samsung made a phone that performs gorgeously, is super fast, has a great screen, and a lot of extra little features and frills.
Now, you note that you're not a fan of huge phones. Is the Galaxy a huge phone?
The Galaxy is absolutely a huge phone, and that's why I don't carry one myself. There's this real trend right now towards these phones with very big screens, 4.5, 4.8 inches. There's even a 5.3 inch phone out there, which I call a phablet because it's like half phone, half tablet. I find these phones too big to use in one hand with my hands, which are relatively small. So I carry a smaller phone, an HTC One S. But that said, I've talked to a lot of people who prefer these larger phones for the bigger screens.
So what about the compromise? Do you lose in battery life when you get one of these bigger phones?
No, that's the thing. If you have a bigger phone, you can have a bigger screen, but you can also have a bigger battery. And the Galaxy S3 has very good battery life.
Now, you note that the Motorola Droid Razr Max remains the top choice among smartphones. What is the key difference between these two phones?
The Razr Max has absolutely spectacular battery life. It has a huge battery built into it. The Galaxy S3 has very good battery life, but nothing beats the Razr Max's battery life. So if that's your number one consideration, the Razr Max is still your phone. Also, Samsung's particular graphics, the skin they put over Android, it's very colorful, it's very cuddly. It may not appeal to some people as much as Motorola's sparser, some people would say more industrial-looking design. That's very much an artistic taste question there.
I'm talking to Sasha Segan, the lead mobile analyst for PC Mag. You can find his review of this new phone on PCMag.com. So when it comes to the evolution of these phones, this new Samsung Galaxy S3, I mean, does it basically just get faster, longer battery life with each new generation, just slightly better at each turn?
Well, what we're seeing is companies are trying out new features, especially around searching and sharing, to try to differentiate themselves. For instance, this Galaxy S3, if you have a couple of friends in the room and they all have Galaxy S3s and you're all snapping photos, say at a party, it'll automatically share the photos between all of those phones. Or if you're taking a photo and it's of someone in your address book, it'll automatically attach the name of that person to the photo and offer to post it to Facebook. So beyond faster and better battery life, these companies are trying to find the ways people use their phones, for instance, with Facebook and Twitter, and to put software in the phones that integrates them.
I see. But in terms of hardware, the screen and the camera and so on, is it very similar to the previous model?
The screen's considerably bigger than the previous model and higher res. This screen can show HD videos without shooting them down. It's a real HD screen. And in terms of the camera, it's a better, faster, somewhat higher resolution camera, too. So everything's been stepped up from the Galaxy S2.
You note that the Galaxy S3 runs a Android 4.0 ice cream sandwich. How is this new software working out? Is it a big step forward?
ICS is much faster and smoother than the previous version of Android was, Android 2.3. But we're already seeing a little bit of frustration because Google has already announced Android 4.1, which they call Jelly Bean. And, of course, that isn't on any of these phones yet. And Android 4.1 offers this really cool Siri-like search function called Google Now that I think a lot of people would want. But we're not hearing when Android 4.1 will come to the phones. So 4.0 is a great piece of software, but it feels like these Android phones are always a little behind.
Can you simply upgrade the software on your existing phone?
No, that's one of the great frustrations. With unlocked phones that you buy direct from the manufacturer, it's easier. But if you're buying a phone from a carrier, and most Americans are, it can be very difficult to upgrade the software yourself.
I see. Now, when you say very difficult, then it's not impossible. Do they try to make it harder to do that then?
It depends on which carrier model. Now we get into very technical terms like unlocked bootloaders and Android open source community software build. Where there's a will, there's a way. But you have to have a will and a considerable amount of technical knowledge to do it.
I see. What about processing speed? Is there really any noticeable difference when you compare these newer smartphones?
I think we've gotten to the point where the processors are good enough, and you're not going to notice a huge difference when it comes down to the processor. Now, in terms of the web browser you use, you will notice a difference. Android 4 has the new Chrome web browser, and that browser is much faster than the previous Android browser, and for that matter, the iPhone browser. But that's down to the browser, not necessarily to the processor.
Now, you do note in your review that the call quality can actually be noticeably better on this kind of a phone or other phones, which is interesting because typically people think that it's a matter of the signal and the area you're calling from. How much does the phone itself have to do with it?
I love this feature because I've reviewed more than 500 cell phones, so I've listened to phone calls on any number of phones, and I'm a big phone call quality geek. And people's hearing differs. Some people like treblier sounds. Some people like bassier sounds. Some people have high-frequency hearing loss. The Galaxy S3 lets you listen to a series of tones, and then it tunes itself. It equalizes the calls to the tones that you hear best, and it does make an audible difference for me.
Finally, this 8-megapixel camera, is that fairly standard now, and do you consider a camera really significant or still somewhat peripheral to the phone?
Yeah, an 8-megapixel camera is pretty standard on high-end smartphones right now. This is a pretty good example of the genre. The best one is still on the iPhone.
And the price was a couple $100 for this new Galaxy phone?
Yeah, it depends on which carrier you're taking it with and how much memory is in the phone. It could be anywhere between $200 and $300. And once again, with a two-year contract, that's a pretty standard price for a top-of-the-line smartphone right now.
Right. You go through the manufacturer, you pay quite a lot more then.
Yeah, if you buy it without a contract, you'll probably pay $650.
Someone that's looking to buy a phone this summer, should this be the phone to buy if you're going for an Android phone, or is there something coming down the bend by the end of the summer that might be worth waiting for?
I think unless you want a smaller device for a smaller hand, this is the phone to buy right now. Real iPhone fans should wait until October. There will be a new iPhone this October, and I'm sure that'll be great as well. But provided you're okay with the size, the Galaxy S3 is not going to disappoint.
I see. Now, the iPhones, they're going to remain the same size. There's no change on their end.
Nobody knows.
They might adapt. Do you think on the whole, though, we're going to get to a point where these smaller phones are going to be phased out and we'll be left with just the larger ones?
I hope not. I think for a lot of people, using a smartphone is still a one-handed experience. While you're walking down the street, you're doing something or maybe holding a bag with your other hand. And the size of the human hand is not changing with time. So I'm hoping there will still always be phones that are sized for smaller hands.
Sasha Segan, he's the lead mobile analyst for PC Mag. Find his reviews, hundreds of reviews on all the latest gadgets and smartphones at PCMag.com. Sasha, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.